I declare the meeting open at 5:30 PM. I welcome councillors, management and members of the public in attendance to the City of Melbourne. May I ask that all mobile phones be turned off for the duration of the meeting. We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and a location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. Should there be any queries relating to the conduct of the meeting, the documentation or the submission process, please speak with a member of the Council business team after the meeting. The agenda comprises 8 reports from management, 4 of which are confidential, and 1 item of general business. No apologies have been received. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest, as defined in the Local Government Act 1989, in relation to a matter to be considered by council, please disclose the type and the nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. Could I call on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the open minutes of council meeting 49 and 50 held on the 28th of June 2016? Councillor Wood, Councillor Pinder-Mortimer, I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Are there any matters arising from the minutes of the previous open meetings? As at 3 PM today, the following submissions were received in accordance with the Council's Conduct of Meetings Local Law 2010. In relation to Agenda Item 6.2, Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Program Implementation Framework, items of correspondence from Rupert Buist, Angela Williams, Diane and Graham Dyser, Con Kadaris, Ray Carling, Felicity Watson and Rohan Story. In relation to Agenda Item 6.4, C245, Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal, items of correspondence from Felicity Watson, Rohan Story. Does any councillor wish to discuss the confidential status of confidential agenda items? Councillor Watts.
Forgive me, I haven't actually done this before, but and you can assist me. I would like to bring an item which is in confidential into open session.
If you wish to do that, we would need to go into confidential to do it. So we'd need to clear the galleries and then discuss whether we wish to bring it into open, because it's been designated a confidential agenda item. If you wish to do that, you could move a motion to ask that a confidential item be debated in the open session. I would call for a seconder. We would then debate that. If the motion succeeded, we would then clear the galleries to discuss whether to bring it into open session. So it's a two-vote thing, basically because you can't discuss what the item is in open.
I can cite a number.
You could. If it's already on the agenda, that's the public agenda. It would need to be the public agenda item that you cited. You can certainly do that. And you put that straight to the vote if you wish to.
Perhaps governance manager could assist me with this. Could you look, please, at the public? I don't have the public agenda in front of me, so I can't tell.
We don't really have. I mean, it can either be contractual matters prejudicing council or any person, or personnel matters?
It is a contractual matter.
Okay. It will be item 1 or 2.
Item 2.
Okay. Are you happy to move that that be debated in open session?
Yes.
Is there a seconder for that? Okay. Do we wish to put it straight to the vote, or do you wish to... I think we can put that straight to the vote.
Thank you.
Those who are voting in favour of this are for bringing item 6512 into open session, and those voting against it are to keep it in confidential. I would remind the councillor that even if it's in confidential, during that debate, we can vote to make something public following the decision. But nevertheless, this is... perfectly legitimate motion. I'll put that motion. If councillors would just check item 6512, and if you vote yes, you are voting to debate this in open session, and it would become item 6.5. All those in favour? Councillor Foster and Councillor Watts. Those against? Councillor Mayne, Councillor Wood, Councillor Louis, Councillor Pinner-Mortimer, Councillor Ong, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Oak, Councillor Levitt, myself. The motion fails. Thank you. There are no reports from committee. There are four reports from management. The first is the record of assemblies of councillors. Would councillors like a presentation? I presume not. In that case, I will put that motion. Could I have a councillor to move it? Councillor Wood, seconded, Deputy Lord Mayor. All in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.2 is the Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Program Implementation Framework. I'm happy to move that motion. Is there a seconder?
Councillor Wood? I'm moving. I would like that matter to be deferred.
You can move an amendment, Councillor, to defer that motion.
May I?
You may, yeah.
This is what I'm doing now.
Okay. Is there a seconder for that motion? In that case, we now debate the amendment, which is for deferral. Councillor Watts.
Yes, I'm...
Sorry, Chair, it's a point of order. Is this an amendment or a procedural motion?
It is a procedural motion, and therefore we simply vote on the motion.
So at this point, I'm to argue why I think this should be deferred.
No. You can...
You can just talk about why you want to defer.
Yeah, okay. That's
so,
it.
So you this can. Is what I'm going to do now. I'm going to argue why I think this matter should be deferred.
Go ahead.
Well, perhaps something is forthcoming here.
Might be nice to have the Lord Mayor's attention.
Yep. I'm sorry, is there something I need to know?
Well, you've moved the motion, Councillor. Please speak to it.
No, I thought there was a further advice from the manager for government.
Councillor, you've moved the motion.
So what I think this matter should be deferred until the next FMC, because I see this as a motion giving the opportunity, the amendment will... for it to be deferred will allow the stakeholders to actually express more of their views. The reality is that constituents may have been engaged in a very long and very expensive and very comprehensive engagement process, but there's evidence that they feel they have not been heard. Now, some of my colleagues think written submissions are enough. I do not. I think people need to be actually heard. Therefore, I would like this particular motion heard, put before the FMC meeting, so that in the public realm, so that people can make verbal submissions if they so wish.
Councillor Foster.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just briefly, there's little to add to what Councillor Watts has had to say, other than to point out that one of the few restrictions of being in the chamber and hearing motions like this in this room is that the public doesn't have the opportunity to submit verbally to them. Yes, there have been written submissions. There has been a consultation process, and as Councillor Watts has pointed out, it's very clear that a number of the views that people are trying to express haven't landed here. Having the matter dealt with at FMC, where there is a microphone available to people, a three-minute speaking slot to submitters, would give people the opportunity to make their views known to all councillors in the same place at the same time. So it is unequivocal what their view is. There seems to be some dispute about what traders really think at the moment. I know what I've heard, and I think it would be very useful for all councillors to be in receipt of those views.
Thank you. Could I just make sure that the mover is happy? We have put a date to that, because if you move a deferment, there must be a date to which you are deferring it.
Referred.
I'm going to speak against this motion. I mean, we have had items of correspondence from people. This has been a very lengthy process. This is an implementation framework which is still subject during the debate to flexible movement, so I'm not sure what a deferment would achieve. Councillor Foster says that all councillors will be in the same place and hear submissions at the same time and it will be unequivocal. I'm not sure how it's different between a verbal and a written submission. I mean, we might not be in the same place, but you've got the written submission. It might not be at the same time, but you've got the written submission, and they're unequivocal. And I would have thought, given the publicity surrounding this, which partly Councillor Watts and Councillor Foster fostered, that, you know, seven written submissions following their meeting at Trades Hall is an indication that, you know, if people needed to be heard, then they've been heard through their written submissions. I'd also point out this is the very start of the process. It's not as if we don't talk to the public as a result of this. Many of the things that we will decide tonight, one later in the agenda, which I won't preempt, but, you know, requires us to go back out and talk to the community again. And so I think it's pretty specious to say that there's a difference between the verbal and the written, and the deferral will make any difference to the strength of arguments made, particularly given the fervour that Councillor Watts and Councillor Foster whipped up at the meeting of people who were concerned about the development of the market. So I would have thought that a deferral will achieve very little and is simply a political tactic. Is there a further speaker for the motion? Further speaker against the motion? Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I find this frustrating, actually, that we've got a gallery here tonight, probably many of them G'd up by Councillors Foster and Councillor Watts, and the amount of consultation that this project has before it and has had previous has been some of the most extensive consultation that we've had on a project, as it should be, the project of this scale. And as you've said too, that this is the start of a process. It's an ongoing process, and it's a process which will have many levels of consultation as it comes to fruition. There are so many parts to this process, so many parts to this project, and so many avenues for people to comment. This is simply one avenue. You can submit in written form to this meeting. You've had the opportunity to come before FMC and speak for those 3 minutes, as Councillor Foster referred to. We've got ongoing consultation with traders, with all the different groups. We've got ongoing consultation with the community that surrounds the market. We've got ongoing consultation with Heritage Victoria and all the different stakeholders that are here. I think to sort of say that somehow by deferring this to the 16th of August to allow further submissions to this implementation framework, which is one element, is going to solve all of these supposed issues that have been thrown up, is a little bit disingenuous, and I wish Councillor Watts and Councillor Foster every luck with their political campaign.
Is there further speaker for the motion? Further speaker against the motion? Is the mover wish to, Councillor Mayne?
Ordinarily, I agree with the concept on a contentious issue that oral submissions at FMC can add to the debate and the information that's provided. But I think we have advertised this meeting. A lot of people have gone to the trouble of coming. A lot of people have done submissions. And so I want to hear tonight, over the next half an hour, where everybody sits in this chamber on the audio. And if at the end of that debate I feel that there's a need for further oral submissions next week, well, then we have the option of voting against the recommendation and moving an alternative motion to have a debate again next week, if that's the feeling. I'm not inclined that way at the moment, but I want to hear from my colleagues during the substantive debate, about if there are any concerns or to further flesh out what might be troubling them. Because I agree with the Lord Mayor and Councillor Wood on their arguments that we've gone to this trouble, we've been through this process. After everything that's been whipped up, we've only had 7 submissions. And this is a long-term, multi-year framework. And I understand there are some amendments proposed tonight which deal with some of the areas of concern. So if those areas of concern are dealt with, I think we can deal with it tonight. And there's many opportunities over the years ahead to further dive back into the details of any particular problems that arise. So I'm not minded to shut the debate down now when everyone's gone to be ready for this. And I am interested in hearing what everyone has to say during the substantive debate. And we do have that option at the end. If we think that's warranted, at this point I haven't heard anything which would warrant supporting a deferral and then having the debate next week as well.
Thank you. Further speaker to debate, Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I know ordinarily we don't debate procedural motions, but that seems to be our convention now. And
no,
so
you can debate. You can debate the procedure, but not the substantive nature of the motion.
No worries. I was inclined to support a deferral from the outset because I believe, as the mover has set out, that we make better decisions when we've got the verbal submissions. However, based on the contribution from our Chair of Finance and Governance just now, I too would be very interested to see where this debate goes tonight, and so I reserve my right to consider whatever procedural motion may come towards the end of the debate. However, on the basis that Councillor Mayne's set out, and on the basis that we've got the gallery here who do want to hear where we stand, I'm happy to let the debate go. So at this stage, vote against the procedural, but reserve our rights at the end of the debate. Thank you.
Thank you. Does the mover wish to close debate?
I would like to close debate by saying how disappointing it is that at least two of my colleagues seek to discredit myself and my colleague, Councillor Foster. The public recording of this will show how unnecessarily insulting they've been already in this debate. I move this motion in good faith. Certainly, I'm listening to the constituents. Certainly, I'm recognising that the consultations have been, as I've said, expensive and exhaustive, but I'm mindful that people have not had their say properly yet. Otherwise, we would not have had these public meetings that have been going on. And as for our whipping them up, I can assure you the constituents who do go to these meetings have no need for any incitement from councillors. They're angry enough in their own right.
I'll now put the motion. All those in favour are voting for a deferral. Those in favour? Councillor Foster, Councillor Watts. Those against? Councillor Mayne, Councillor Wood, Councillor Louis, Councillor Pinder-Mortimer, Councillor Ong, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Oak, Councillor Levitt, myself. The motion is lost. I'll now move to moving the item 6.2, the Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Programme Implementation Framework. Is there a seconder? Councillor Wood. Thank you. Let me speak briefly to this. Picking up Councillor Watts's last comment, I'm not sure how you can concede that consultations can be exhaustive, as she has just said, and yet people haven't had their say. I think they have, but even so, there is a lot more say that people can have. This is the very first step in a long series of steps. There is no proposal before us yet. This is the most basic cases around business continuity, with a lot still to be fleshed out. And it is still subject to sensible negotiation, particularly with traders, and flexibility. And that's very important, that as we move through this process, you actually deal with the traders to make sure they are comfortable with each step and that their interests are best represented at each step. And therefore, you know, given that far broader negotiation will take place when this is passed, it's very important that we take this first step and pass it. Otherwise, all you're doing is talking before you talk, and you never get to meet the frameworks and the timelines that we have to meet in order to make the precinct renewal work. I would remind councillors, it was traders who came to us to ask us to make an investment in the market of $250 million. And that is what we're stepping through at the moment. There'll be people who disagree. There'll be people who need to be accommodated. There'll be concerns that need to be met. And I get all of that. But you need to make these landmark steps in order to begin those processes. This is something like 43 separate individual projects within the Queen Victoria Market renewal. And the first step of that is to agree to the most basic of implementation frameworks, showing something about how this work will proceed and in what order. Inside that, as I've said, as the report says, there is plenty of flexibility for negotiation inside this implementation framework. But we've just got to get on with it, or we won't be doing anything at the Queen Victoria Market. And I would remind councillors that if this process fails, I don't think it will be revisited for another 20 years. That's how long it will take. Councillor Wood.
I'll reserve my rights.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against the motion?
Lord Mayor, before we continue the debate, can I have a series of amendments to move, and I think it's fair to my colleagues if I move them towards the beginning of the debate rather than towards the end. Can I take the opportunity now to move those amendments?
Okay. Can I ask how many?
There will be three. I'll seek leave to move the third.
Okay. Do you wish to move them separately?
Yes, but I'll be brief.
That's okay. I'm happy with that.
Yep. Thank you, Lord Mayor. I've circulated these to councillors, and they're also going to be appearing on the screen one at a time. Not all of that text on the screen is what I'm moving right now. It's just the block of text under the title, Councillor Leppard Amendment 1. Can we go back up, please? So I'm moving that the following words be added to the end of paragraph 10.1, and they follow there.
Is there a second for that? Councillor Oak. Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. So there are a series of issues with the implementation plan that I take issue with, just as a preface to all three amendments, I note that Council, of course, has unanimously adopted the Queen Victoria Market Renewal Master Plan, and the Master Plan talks about various issues that are to be resolved in each of the four quarters and Market Cross. The first issue I want to talk about is one that is being sought to be resolved through the implementation plan, but which I believe is creating quite a few issues that weren't foreshadowed in the Master Plan. These are issues that I have serious concerns with. So the particular issue I have here is that the below ground operational areas, the implementation plan does not rule out the interference with the declared Aboriginal section of the cemetery, of the old cemetery, Melbourne's second cemetery. It wasn't the first cemetery, it was the second. I think Flagstaff Hill was the first cemetery, so we might want to update our materials on that as well. But the issue to be resolved in the master plan does suggest that we will avoid the cemetery, but the implementation plan doesn't explicitly rule out that we will avoid the cemetery. So my amendment is to explicitly rule out interfering with the cemetery or going within 3 metres of the old designated Aboriginal cemetery in those underground areas. And I believe, feel quite strong about this, and so I move the amendment.
Councillor Oak, wish to speak? Is there a speaker against? Is there a further speaker for? I think this is a very sensible amendment. I would hope we'd do better than 3 metres, to be honest, but I think that was the intent, but it's good to make it absolutely specific in this amendment. Mover wish to conclude debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Councillor, your second amendment.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. The second amendment relates to H&I sheds. The Master Plan says that one of the issues to be resolved is options for adaptation of H&I sheds. And it goes on. The other section of the Master Plan suggests that there will be a continuing focus on food in the H&I sheds. Now, my interpretation at the time of the Master Plan was that the existing sale of fruit and vegetable in H&I sheds would continue. That was my interpretation of the Master Plan. The implementation plan, however, before us today... it's fine, isn't it?
I think you need that rather than the...
No, this is adding to the list of things that that we're seeking amendment on. The context is right.
Yep. Okay.
But ignore the text down the bottom of the screen. Yep. It's just the stuff at the top.
Yep.
So the implementation plan actually foreshadows quite serious changes to the H&I sheds, whether it's a dining hall type arrangement or a series of different commercial food offers which aren't actually the sale of fresh produce. I believe, based on a very large number of conversations with not just traders but also those important stakeholders, shoppers at the Queen Victoria Market, that having the H&I sheds, which is really the middle of the market and the heart of the sale of produce at the market, to change that to become a semi-exclusive area where you're either stopping to sit and eat or doing something else rather than what we've currently got, which is the free flow of pedestrian traffic through that section, and it's surrounded by other sections of the market. I think it's a good thing for us to keep the fresh sale of produce next to the dairy hall, next to the fresh meat, fresh fish. Keeping the fresh fruit and vegetable in the same area as well is actually important. We have to remember that through the Master Plan and every step of this process, we've argued that keeping the character of the Queen Victoria Market and the purpose, those core purposes of the market intact, are absolutely paramount. And I think one of the best ways of doing that is to continue to guarantee that the H&I sheds will include the sale of fresh fruit and vegetables post-renewal. I don't know what the full makeup of the H&I sheds will necessarily be, but I think we should be giving the indication, based on feedback we've had to date, that we will include a significant amount, or however you want to interpret this amendment, of fresh sale of fruit and vegetable in the H&I sheds.
Yeah. Councillor Oak, I think I called you as the seconder of this one as well, but I'm now declaring you the seconder of this one.
No, I definitely seconded this. In fact, this is one of many of my concerns, again, in the interpretation from the master plan to the implementation plan, and in reading this particular section, I wanted to make sure that I have on record that I too agree that the moving of fresh fruit and vegetables from this particular section of the market is of great concern to me, and particularly if, you know, as we are, and I believe we are, keeping the heritage and the cultural experience of the market that it is now and has been for many, many decades. It is that fresh fruit and vegetable offering in that section where you've got the dairy hall and the fresh meat and the fresh fish, and being able to buy all of those products in that particular section of the market is really important to me and to the many, many people that I've spoken to as well, and so this amendment is particularly important to me as well.
Thank you. Is there a speaker against the motion? Further speaker to the motion? Could I just say, in support of the motion, this was an issue raised with me by the Minister. I indicated to him that there was a possibility that this might be an amendment to... I think you'll be rejoicing that my microphone doesn't work. Thanks, Martin. Give me yours. Sorry, let me start again. I'm a big supporter of this amendment. In informal conversations with me, it's an issue that the Minister has raised, and I know it's of deep concern to him as well. I was able to, while not assure him, suggest to him that an amendment might be possible to the implementation plan tonight that included the guarantee of fresh fruit and vegetables in continuity at H&I, and I think he was very pleased with that. I think it's a sensible clarification, and I'm delighted to support it. Further speaker to the motion? Deputy Lord Mayor.
Look, I agree with you, Lord Mayor. I mean, the whole of the market is important to all of us here present tonight and to all of the traders as well. But this particular section is the heart of the market, and this is where the people come for the most enjoyment and to get everything they require. So I'm really impressed with this change of motion.
Further speaker to debate? Mover wish to conclude? Oh, no, you can't to an amendment. Quite right. Thank you for your procedural correctness. In that case, I'll put the motion of those in favour. That is unanimous. Thank you. And the third motion, which needs to be by leave, and I'm happy to grant leave.
I seek leave to move a third amendment in succession. Thank you very much.
I always wanted to say that. Only speakers say that. I've always wanted to say that. Leave is granted.
And I know we sometimes pretend we're in Parliament a bit beyond ourselves. Not yourself, of course, Lord Mayor, having been in Parliament previously.
A bit behind ourselves, I would have thought, Councillor, but never mind.
Behind ourselves, okay. The third issue I have is with the entrance, the vehicular entrance exit to the underground operational areas. Again, the master plan talks about the potential for above ground or below ground services for the A to E and H&I sheds, but it doesn't commit to underground services, and it certainly doesn't canvass where the entrance to those underground services should be. So the implementation plan we're considering tonight is the first time that we've really been asked to commit to underground services, probably for all of the A to D and H&I sheds, with some interface between them under Queen Street as well. That raises the question, where does the vehicular entrance to those underground services go? I believe that there are probably a series of options. However, those options haven't yet been fully presented to us with their pros and cons and analysed properly, and I don't believe that now's the time to do that. My overarching fear here, though, is that if we simply adopt the implementation plan as it is tonight, we may be... it may be interpreted that we're definitely going ahead with the entrance in a particular spot, for example. I know that to date the likely location for the vehicular access would be on Peel Street. That would interfere with the A-listed heritage sheds, probably C, D or E. I'm not sure exactly where the entrance would go. And that is something I have grave concerns about. So the amendment here doesn't say don't put an entrance anywhere or anything like that. It just takes the issue off the table. It puts it as a discrete question to council in future after a full assessment of all options can be made. And it also expresses the opinion that if at all possible, we will avoid impact on the heritage place. That really means on the heritage sheds. So we'll see where it lands, but what this amendment does is it takes this question off the table and seeks to resolve it in future, noting significant heritage concerns.
Councillor Oak. Councillor Wood.
Speaking for it, Lord Mayor, I think what this this does too is also allow, in terms of investigating those options, what are the impacts on Peel Street? So taking that pause, we've got a very busy entry exit point there as it is for that street coming into to the roundabout. So taking this pause, obviously for heritage reasons, allows further investigation for traffic impacts as well. So I congratulate Councillor Leppard on this amendment.
Further speaker to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. That incorporates those three amendments into the substantive motion. I have spoken on that substantive motion. I think the second has reserved his right to speak. Is there a speaker against the motion? Councillor Watts.
I'm just picking up, Lord Mayor, on what you've said, which is such a lot needs to be fleshed out. I think it's significant that this late stage, that in this particular process, that that Councillor Leppard has had to introduce such three key points. One would have thought such matters might have appeared in the document thus far, but no, here we are tinkering with it again, which in fact supports my contention that this motion is premature. We are in fact voting tonight to propel the Queen Victoria Precinct project forward prematurely. Now, some of my colleagues have argued that this is a long process. Yes, it is. It's a key development in our city. That the Lord Mayor should be in the media and tonight threatening, in a sense, that it will be a 20-year delay before anything is happening unless we move at this point, I doubt very much indeed. My concern about all of this is that we don't know enough. We haven't explored enough options. There are many elements to tie up since the master plan and since this implementation plan has been put out for scrutiny. There have been a number of major infrastructure, two that come to mind readily, the Metro and now the Western Distributor, both of which will have impact on what the implementation plan may or may not be. And then, of course, we've got the potential closure of Grattan Street. I mean, there are lots of variables that are not even mentioned or explored to my satisfaction, which is why, in fact, I feel so strongly about this lack of detail and so strongly about this being put prematurely that I've sought advice from the Office of the Victorian Ombudsman to see whether I am, in fact, in breach of my obligations as a councillor in order to vote on any such matter as, but an enormous project in the scheme of things for our council, the biggest, the largest ever. We have to be across the detail before we propel it forward. So I speak very strongly against this. I want to know a lot more about this project before I commit to any aspect of it.
Is there a further speaker for the motion? Councillor Leppard.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. It would certainly be churlish of me to be speaking against the motion after colleagues have kindly supported the three amendments I moved. And I will be supporting this, but on different grounds to those that have been canvassed by Councillor Watts. I don't want us to suggest that the implementation framework is a proxy for the entire Queen Victoria Market renewal process. This is only a document which suggests to particularly traders, but to the public at large, what Council proposes to do and when. That's all this document is. The planning considerations that have been raised will rightly be considered separately to this process. The use of the market going forward and the underlying principles about what the renewal will do and what the renewal won't do have been adopted unanimously by the Council in the Queen Victoria Market Renewal Precinct Renewal Master Plan. There are other development considerations about the parcels of land that council owns and about the land use mix and what council proposes to do in those areas. Those will be subject to separate debates as well. All we're doing right now is deciding whether or not to adopt the implementation framework. Now it's been going to be updated with the three amendments that colleagues have kindly supported. However, this is not a proxy for the entire Queen Victoria market renewal process. Councillors have unanimously endorsed the master plan. The master plan said, let's commission an implementation plan and we'll consider it at this time. That time has arrived. Here's the implementation plan. This is exactly what Council has commissioned, and that is why we are having this debate at this time. That said, I am very concerned about aspects of the implementation plan, as I've already raised in the amendments. That is why I've moved a series of amendments. The idea that we should only say yes or no to complete documents as they come to council, the logical extension of that argument is that councillors should never be seeking amendments from the floor. On the basis of what I've read, and I've seen a lot of information, I'm not comfortable with what's been put to us, and so I've reserved my right to move amendments, and I've done so, and they've been supported. Let's keep that flexibility in here. Let's not hope that we only ever have complete documents presented to us that we all 100% unanimously agree with. What then is the purpose of there being a council at all? What I do know about this process is that the consultation with traders, although there are always going to be quite a lot of traders who are going to disagree with this assertion, has been going on for quite a long time. The consultation with all other stakeholders has been going on for quite a long time. With a project as inherently complicated as this one, with a project which has so many people with a very long-term emotional investment in the market, this is a place that people have been shopping for decades or selling goods for decades, this is always going to be a difficult and complicated debate. However, this is only one small piece of the full renewal process, and so we need to consider it in that context. Let me briefly mention the fourth thing I'm quite concerned about. That is the lifting and placing back down of the heritage sheds. And we've had many people recommend to us that we not adopt the implementation plan on that basis. I believe that those calls are slightly misguided only because of this reason. We cannot do anything to those sheds if Heritage Victoria says we can't. We can't just seek a planning application to make changes to those sheds and the minister approves it or not. This is a site of state significance. Heritage Victoria must say whether or not we can touch the sheds. I know that our officers are going to be working hand in hand with Heritage Victoria, and whatever Heritage Victoria recommends at the end is something that we're going to have to live with. So if Heritage Victoria says no, the answer is no. If Heritage Victoria says yes, but do it in this particular way, well, that's certainly the way it's going to happen. So what our discussion tonight is not about is whether or not we do any of this work, because there's going to be separate debates, separate decisions of council and separate processes which decide exactly how those sheds are going to be moved, if at all. So my concerns are alleviated because I know that that will be a separate process. And so again, all we've got to go off tonight is whether or not we adopt the implementation framework, because it is one small part of the process, but it's a process that we've all agreed has to happen in a timeframe that we've all agreed will happen. And based on the amendments that colleagues have kindly supported tonight, I'm happy to progress this to the next stage.
Is there a further speaker against the motion? Councillor Foster.
This motion has obviously attracted quite a bit of attention, and I know just how much, not just by the full galleries tonight, but because I was at a meeting at Trades Hall last week where a large number of traders and small business owners turned out. It wasn't, evidently, as the Lord Mayor suggested on 774 last week, only about half traders, because when the organiser said, can all the traders please stand up, upwards of 90% of them did. And that tells me that there are people in that room, a large number of people in that room, that needed to be heard, that wanted to be heard. And far be it from me to be whipping up a frenzy. It didn't take me to whip up a frenzy. All the traders were there for their own very good reasons. Again, because they've been frustrated. They don't feel as if their views have been heard by us. And it just so happened that Councillor Watts and myself were the only two councillors to bother rocking up. Any other councillor could have. But we were the ones that were there. It had nothing to do with us whipping up anything, and I don't think it does accusers any credit to suggest that traders need to be whipped into a frenzy. They're actually pretty smart people, and they know when things don't feel right. They know when their views aren't being heard, or they feel that their views aren't being heard, and they know what to do about that. And that's why they're rocking up here. They're rocking up to meetings. They're emailing us, and they're calling us. It is something that I agree with the Lord Mayor, that there is every chance that not proceeding now or perhaps delaying substantially now may create further substantial delays into the future. But conversely, if we don't get this right, it's going to take another 20 years to put things back on track. It's important that we get this right now. It has taken about 10 years to reach this point. I agree with that too. So if it takes us a little bit longer to get it right, I think it's time well spent. I think there is a general feeling building that another motion like this, one in a succession of motions that take another step each time towards further development of this project is almost amounting to death by a thousand cuts for the Queen Victoria market. And that's not a feeling that I think we ought to be encouraging in the community. We need to be able to take those views on board and get it right. And again, if we have to spend a little bit more time to do that, it is time very, very well spent. In the end, people are right to be concerned and passionate about their work at the market, about what is essentially their community and, importantly, their livelihoods. We have third and fourth generation families running stalls at the market. If they feel strongly about this, for goodness sake, let's hear them. Let's take the time to do that. Some of us think that's pretty important.
Is there a further speaker for the motion? Councillor Mayne.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Look, I'll be supporting this. I think that Councillor Leppett's three very specific amendments were excellent in terms of dealing with some of the issues of concerns. I haven't heard of anything specific from Councillor Foster or Councillor Watts of specific concerns. I've just heard general, let's take another week. I've read the seven submissions that we have received. And I thought we would receive 30 or 40 submissions. And I agree with Councillor Leppett that this is just one step in a very long process. We're not letting a single contract here. This is not issuing any permit here. Any detail of this implementation plan could be revisited on any week by a notice of motion by a councillor to say, please amend and make this specific change. So we're not signing a contract to do something for 10 years. I've only been on this council for 4 years and we've been talking about doing the Queen Victoria market from the very first day, 4 years ago. And we've only got a couple of months to go and I'm concerned that there is now politics, discord and a potential loss of momentum. I wish we had been further advanced by this time frame than where we are. I think to take 3.5 years to get to an implementation plan where we haven't actually spent any meaningful dollars yet. From my point of view, we've grossly underinvested and unloved the Queen Victoria market for many years. We've taken $100 million out of it over the last 20 years and we've invested not enough back into it. And everyone says, you can't do it, politics will get in the way, it'll get blocked, it'll just be left unloved. That was the prediction that people made at the start of this process. That is what we are starting to see emerge now. And I'm worried about the risk that it will get all too hard and we'll walk away and we won't invest in the Queen Victoria market when it desperately needs things like some proper facilities for traders, the undergrounding, which will lead to utilities and potential trader access, air conditioning, all those things which should have been put in years ago but hasn't been done because of neglect and politics by many councils going back. The core of this proposal for me is the idea of turning an ugly and disrespectful 700 asphalt car park sitting on top of a cemetery, converting that into a much-loved and well-used open space that will bring people and lift trade at the market, will be used for events, will become like Federation Square in its popularity, and building car parking elsewhere. That is the core of this proposal, along with broad renewal, investing in growing it and making it more prosperous and more successful. So for me, the risk of delay and discord is a worry going into an election, and I think that this is a loss of momentum if we don't support this tonight. I think the amendments from Councillor Leppett deal with some of the concerns, and as I said earlier, any councillor, having consulted with any stakeholder, can at any time move a motion to change something specifically and can feed into what will be very detailed and lengthy ongoing negotiations and consultation with traders and all stakeholders before anything specific outlined in this broad brush, big picture implementation plan is actually done. So for those reasons, I think that hands in the air tonight is the sensible way to go to support this proposal, not fueling politics and discord and introducing delay to a concept which has been, in my view, outrageously delayed for decades.
Further contribution to debate? Councillor Wood.
I'll take up my right to speak, Lord Mayor. I want to thank Councillor Lippitt for all his work. I think the amendments are excellent, and I think they pick up some really good points, and they should give comfort to the gallery that's here tonight that Council is listening. And I think the process that this is that we've gone through here tonight is exactly the sort of process that we should be going through in terms of the steps in making this Queen Victoria market the best market in the world. It has been much loved, it is much loved, and the introduction of the night markets, the introduction of the winter markets, all of these sort of features keep on making this market a great place to be. But we have to acknowledge that there are issues with the market, and I think everyone acknowledges that. Things like the urban heat island effect and what happens as our climate continues to change and how our traders continue to be able to trade on weeks that are over 40 degrees. I know that's a fear of traders, so getting these facilities below ground will certainly offset some of those issues. Like Councillor Mayne, I haven't seen an issue in this at the moment that would say to me that we need to put this back another couple of weeks. The concerns are being heard. Amendments are being made. None of these amendments, by the way, in terms of the overall master plan, which was unanimously supported even by Councillor Foster and Councillor Watts, none of these are absolute deal breakers. And when we look at the submissions that are in here before us, it does talk rightly about the heritage sheds, but look at Council's track record when we do have a site ourselves, when you look at Boyd, when you look at Kathleen Syme, when you look at what we've been able to do with heritage retention, and taking down heritage structures and reintroducing them has been done all over the world. There are experts in this. There are entire building companies that are set up to do exactly this sort of thing. The open space is absolutely exciting. When we talk about adding this huge open space where we now have car parks, I don't call this death by a thousand cuts at all. I call this logical, reasoned, objective progress. And as Councillor Mayne rightly said, as the Lord Mayor has said, this has been attempted so many times and it has been hijacked, unfortunately, previously by those wishing to make a noise. And I'm talking about not the traders, I'm talking about not the people who love the market, I'm talking about people in a political campaign wishing to drum up confusion, wishing to poke holes in a process, but not actually identifying any major issues. Councillor Lippitt also rightly identifies that we've got so many processes in terms of the checks and balances, planning approvals for the built environment, works plans, ongoing review at every stage that we go through. We have, I come back to the point, endorsed the master plan. And that's the critical part of this. This implementation plan is as much about keeping traders trading through this process. So if we don't get on with an implementation plan, then really what you're asking for is to stop this project. And I think Councillor Watts and Councillor Foster need to be honest about this, is what they ultimately want is not a two-week pause. They want to whip up enough frenzy, enough confusion, and they want to stop the project.
Is there a further speaker to debate? Councillor Pender-Mortimer.
Lord Mayor, I just want to say that I concur with all three councillors who have spoken before me. Also, having visited the markets in London, Barcelona and Milan and discussed in depth their renewal programs some 3 years ago now, I'm really confident that at Queen Victoria Market, the engagement and communication program during this renewal has been really, really substantial.
And I think it's envisaged also that that greater communication will take place during the next 5 years, and I think we've got to look forward to that. And I think we seek input from traders, community and our visitors. I'm a regular visitor to the market. I regularly speak at events and activations, and I really feel the throb of that market, and I love it. And I have no reason to doubt that the release of this framework tonight will only augur for greater things to come.
Thank you. Is there a further speaker to debate? Councillor Rong.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And I've been listening to, just like to say that this, to correct my fellow councillor, it wasn't 4 years ago when we started this. It started well before that in the last term when we discussed this. And the end of the last term was decided that the new council, those who came back, would try to take this particular project forward. Listening to the debate, I just want to say that many of us agreed when the master plan, and even before the master plan, the consideration of the renewal of the Queen Victoria Market, when it was first brought up, was based on the fact that the Queen Victoria Market had dropped from the most visited tourist attraction in Victoria to number 6 or 7. I remember that. And there was questions asked, what is going on? And we know that from, if I want to be blunt here, when we first came into council back in the end of 2008, beginning 2009, we had a presentation of the strategic plan by the management, the then management of Queen Victoria Market. And I have to say it was underwhelming, because there was no vision. There was no vision and way forward to make this market better. It was BAU, we call it, business as usual. Everything's fine, you know, chugging along, and we're going backwards. And I think it was then clear that the then council said, let's think about doing something to make it better. It was the same when we came in and Moomba was falling to pieces. And then the council, the Lord Mayor, and an advisory committee refreshed Moomba to its glory days. And I think this is where we're coming from, to refresh the QVM, the Queen Victoria Market, which I remember going to when I first came to Melbourne in 1978. It was a place, it was a buzz. You go there and you really enjoy it. I have to say, in the many subsequent years, probably in the last 15 years, it's not as exciting in the sense that there hasn't been new ideas. The night markets have been great. The summer festivals have been great. But when I look at merchandising, yes, I can walk down aisle after aisle and I come across the same stuff. The fresh food is great. I think, so when we look at that, and over the years, I've come to realize too, as the chair of planning, to have a what they call at-grade open parking space of 720 spaces is the poorest use of land in this city, because we are constantly harangued by people. We need more public open space, public space where people and their families can use, and we have a 720 place car park at ground level. I mean, taking into consideration all those matters, yes, we want to make the market better.
We just ask you, we don't take interjections, we just ask you to be a little respectful of the speakers who are making a contribution.
And what I want to say is this, to make the market better is to provide better facilities, to allow the traders to look at upgrading and improving, and sometimes it means we make changes, and changes is always hard and difficult and challenging and scary, because it's more comfortable to do things the same way you've been doing for a long time. In business, if I may say this, if you remain where you are and you do the same thing as you've been doing the same way, you're actually going backwards, because everybody else is trying to improve and innovate to move forward. Now, when I look at this debate and the suggestions that now we still need to do more debate and discussion after 3.5 years, reminds me in the business world and in the corporate world where I used to work in, of what we call analysis paralysis. You can analyze down to the last thing. And in the IT world where I used to also work in, we call it trying to find the final bug. There is no such thing as the final bug because there is no perfect computer program, which is why we always swear at our computers. So I think, and I commend the changes that have been put in, and I envisage that over time, new things will come up, and we will bring it to the committee or the council, further improvements to the implementation and the delivery of this renewal, because not doing anything means we're going backwards. And that's why I'm willing to support this implementation framework.
Thank you. Is there a further speaker to debate? Councillor Oak.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Goodness. I've followed along the debate and I think I've changed what it was that I was going to say every time, so apologies if I do go all over the place myself. Because Councillor Ong, and welcome back to meeting Councillor Ong, because he spoke last, I will respond to you and respectfully, I guess, disagree with some of your comments in my comments tonight. In particular, you know, the buzz and the excitement and what I love about the Queen Victoria Market isn't necessarily about the touristy and attracting, you know, necessarily a glistening and glossy market, but it is about retention of what it is right now and what it is to go to Deli Lane on Saturday mornings, 10 o'clock every Saturday, and enjoy, you know, the dairy hall and the fresh fruit and vegetables and the fish market, and that is what I do want to be retained and what I've constantly, as my colleagues hopefully will attest, carried through all of our discussions over the last 4 years is advocating for the retention of what is so special to being able to go on a Saturday morning and get your fresh produce in a manner that I think is unique anywhere in the world and incredibly important. That particular part of the culture of the market is very dear to me and very dear to many people that I go with on a regular basis, and which is why, you know, supporting the amendment, particularly around the continued sale of fresh fruit and vegetables in H&I post-renewal, very important to me, and I was quite alarmed in the perhaps misinterpretation or the change of interpretation from the master plan that I did support to the implementation plan we're talking about tonight. And then also, and again respectfully, Councillor Ong, in terms of debate and discussion, I think that there is still a lot of debate and discussion to be had, but that's not about, you know, postponing what we've got to decide with this particular agenda item, but rather that the information that is yet to come, in particular around heritage, in particular about how those sheds will be maintained or what is to be done with them when we decide what is going underneath those buildings. I think that we haven't yet been given that information yet to have the debate and final discussion or final decision on that, and I agree with the heritage submissions that have been made to this meeting in that we do need to seek advice from heritage experts on those matters, and I reserve my right to make a final decision about how we might move forward there. So I do believe that debate and discussion is still to be had on many things, but I agree that this particular decision we're making right now is not closing down decisions that are yet to be made. As again, my colleagues know, this morning and over the weekend when we were discussing what was before us tonight, I also thought, you know, we should be moving this debate to an FMC to receive further discussion. But I've read through all the submissions that we received, and I am confident in my decision in supporting this tonight that the amendments that are on the table and the actual information that we're agreeing to tonight consider what we've received and have made changes according to the concerns I've spoken to a lot of people about. So I again, reserved my right earlier to whether this needed to be moved or not to an FMC, and I'm comfortable with supporting this. But I agree with Councillor Watts in a suggestion to move it to an FMC that you know, we needed to receive more, potentially more submissions from people who were equally in love and enamoured with the Queen Victoria Market as I am. So I support the framework. I've supported the project moving forward, but very conscious of the concerns and very conscious to keep the culture and fabric of the Queen Victoria Market that I love, and have followed up those threads with many of the people involved in the project. But I believe that there's enough room moving forward in the information that's yet to come to reserve my right to make further amendments, make further changes, and advocate on behalf of a lot of the concerns that we have received through submissions today, but you know, in the last 4 years as well. So I support this, reserving my right based on further information to come, but believe this is the right decision to be made.
Thank you. Further speaker to debate? In that case, in closing debate, I'll just say, could I update councillors and the public through this, that I did meet with the Minister for Planning late this afternoon. During that meeting, the Minister emphasised his support for the redevelopment of the market and the investment in it, and indeed the need for that redevelopment. He also emphasised equally, quite properly, that this is only the start of a very long statutory process yet to be played out, and that there are concerns and questions that will need to be answered during the course of that process. We'll deal with one of those at item 6.4 later today, and that's entirely appropriate if we agree to that, to make the Minister the responsible authority. And some of those concerns and questions were actually very positively played out through the contributions of Councillors Mayne, Leppert and Wood. But the reality is, in order to get into that process, this is the first step that we need to take, and we actually do need to take it. On that basis, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Councillor Mayne, Councillor Wood, Councillor Louis, Councillor Pinner-Mortimer, Councillor Ong, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Oak, Councillor Leppert, myself. Those against? Councillor Foster, Councillor Watts. The motion is carried. I move to agenda item 6.3. which is proposed travel by Councillor Louis as part of the Business Partner Cities Roundtable to Ho Chi Minh City and Kuala Lumpur. I'm happy to move this motion. Is there a seconder for the motion? Deputy Lord Mayor, thank you. Always. Well, it's nice to have such positive endorsement of a process that's taken us only 5 years so far and 5 years to deliver. Anyway, Councillor Louis has represented us very well throughout this term in the Business Partner Cities Roundtables. He has brought back considerable economic benefit to the city as a result of that. We are seen as a leader in the Business Partner Cities Roundtable. I'm still hopeful, obviously not in this council, but perhaps in the next, that we are able to draw Myanmar and Yangon into that relationship. I think that would be very productive, and I thank Councillor Louis for his work. Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I do agree. I think this is a great partnership that's gone on for quite some years, and the benefits have been extraordinary. And thank you, Councillor Louis, for bringing the bacon home.
Is there a speaker against? Is there a further speaker for? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Item 6.4 is Amendment C245, Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, I'm happy to... Councillor Leavitt.
Sorry, mate. With your indulgence, I'd like to move an alternative motion. However, you'd like to proceed...
By all means, move that.
Thank you. If we can scroll down, there it is. I move that motion. Thank you.
I'm happy to second that.
Thank you very much, Lord Mayor. First of all, I'm a little surprised that we've lost so much of the Queen Victoria Market crowd. The implementation plan was the endorsement of an indicative series of timelines, whereas the decision we're about to make, if we do make it, is the adoption of hard and fast changes to the planning rules, pending, of course, the Minister's approval. Not sure how many are left on this side, I can't see it, but anyway, hello to those who have stayed. The panel report that has come back on C245 has made various changes to our proposed changes to the planning controls in and around Queen Victoria Market. Now, when we sent the amendment to panel, we all made a very clear commitment, and the motion we made was also implied very clearly that whatever the panel came back with, we would adopt, because there is a very real perception that the council has a conflict of interest, because some of the planning rules that are being sought, that we are seeking to change in this area, do impact on land that we own, therefore do impact on the property rights that we have, and the potential for profit or otherwise that council as a landowner might hold. What's come back from panel has made a series of changes, and I think most of them are quite good. The Lord Mayor's already mentioned in the previous debate about Queen Victoria Market that the panel says, just to clear things up, the controls for this area, for DPO 11 in particular, say that any planning application should be, where the council is the landowner, should be decided by the Minister for Planning. I think that's a very sensible relationship, very sensible arrangement, and it removes any perception of a conflict of interest. It also sets discretionary height limits, and management have said, consistent with what we've committed to when we sent this to panel, that we will accept the panel's ruling on that, and the 100 metre discretionary height limits on those larger blocks of land that council owns and will seek to develop now have those discretionary height limits in place, and I think we should certainly accept that. We certainly shouldn't quibble with it here. If the panel's said what they've said, then let's not raise new conflict of interest perceptions and just go with it. They've also done something quite surprising, which is to take away our mandatory 10 metre setbacks of our proposed towers away from property edges, and for at least two of the edges of a lot of land that we own says that the mandatory minimum tower mandatory minimum setback of a tower should be 5 metres. So they've actually increased the development potential in a way that I'm not at all happy with, and I hope that whatever council does in future to develop any plot of land, that we do the right thing and keep that setback as large as possible. But again, I'm not seeking to change it here, because that would give rise to more perceptions of conflict of interest. And finally, there are a few changes that bring the area to the south of the area that the council owns to reflect the central city built form review processes, and I think that's a very fair thing. We don't want one rule for property owners in the Hoddle grid and another rule for the property owners inside the Queen Victoria Market precinct, when the argument always has been that this is a continuation of the central city. However, there's one issue that I have serious, serious problems with. The Friends of Queen Victoria Market, who I know mean very well and whose hearts are in the right place, argued to the panel that the council got it wrong when it's arguing that we should rezone the market from capital city zone to public use zone. I'm not sure why the Friends of Queen Victoria Market argued that. Perhaps they thought that because this was part of the proposal, it should be one of the many things that they were opposing at panel to see what could be gotten away with. The reason I believe that that was misguided is that the capital city zone is a zone which allows pretty much most uses as of right, and most of those as of right uses don't require a permit. Of course, most of the area is under a heritage overlay anyway, and so most of the processes would be onerous to get a planning application. However, the capital city zone allows most land uses as of right. What council wanted to do was to remove all of those as of right land uses and lock down the Queen Victoria Market's potential development to a discrete list of public uses, remove this very discretionary, very deregulated zone, and apply instead a public use zone, Schedule 7, which sets out exactly what can and can't be developed at the market, and says very clearly that this area is to be zoned public use forevermore, to be used as a market forevermore. I don't know why the Friends of Queen Victoria Market argued the other way around. Even worse, though, the panel came back and, with, I believe, a very spurious argument, said that because the practice note says that even incremental changes that make the planning scheme more complicated should be resisted, they agreed with the Friends of Queen Victoria Market and said that the whole area should be retained as capital city zone. So loath that I am to disagree with the planning panel's recommendations after we've said that we definitely should not be doing that, I think that this is an exception because we're not arguing to disagree with a recommendation in order to increase our property rights. We're actually going in the other direction. And we're saying a very political statement, I think, if council is happy to adopt this amended version tonight, that we do actually want to use the land as a market forevermore. We don't want to give future councils the potential to develop the market in any way they see fit. The market should be a public use zone so that those land uses are locked down. To really lock in that perception of conflict of interest issue, new 8.1.2 makes it very clear that we want every other built form recommendation coming from the panel to be scrupulously incorporated into the amendment. So it basically charges management with making one last scrutiny of the documentation that's been presented to us tonight to make sure that all the language that the panel has recommended absolutely makes it into the version that we're sending to the minister. In conclusion, I support the amendment with these amendments. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll reserve the right to speak as seconder. Is there a speaker against? Is there a further speaker for? Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I'm happy to support this. I again thank Councillor Lippitt for his diligence. I agree with him that had we been sort of gaming the system for our own gain, then that would be a different thing. But I think this is a smart move. What this does is certainly put on the agenda that we see the Vic market being there for a very long time to come. The other side of this too, I just obviously wanted to highlight that this is another part of the approvals process of which there will be many that will be running alongside this project for the life of this project over many years to come. And I'm glad that we've still got some in our gallery because it does show that the implementation plan was one facet. It's an important facet to guarantee traders their continuity. But there are so many other processes and hurdles to jump over and also room to make sure that we get this right. And these processes will be continuing for years to come. So the point is well made that even on a single night before council, we effectively have two items in open relating to QVM and one item in confidential as well.
Further contribution to debate? Councillor May.
Look, I agree. Similar arguments to previously that this is before us. I don't see any reason for deferring it. We've been through the very lengthy process. We've had 156 submissions that came in to the panel. The panel went for a couple of weeks. It's come back. I'm not so sure I agree with the concept that we should agree for everything the panel says because we're conflicted. And effectively we outsource everything to an unelected, albeit very professional and highly qualified panel. Particularly as we are going with the handover to the minister. So once that deals with the conflict in my mind. The minister's responsible going forward for approvals on QVM, therefore we can act like a proponent, which is what we effectively are as an owner. I think the 100 metre discretionary is a good outcome, that you have to make a case about, community benefit or affordable housing or whatever it is that you're doing to get above 100 metres. I note that the Brady Tower nearby, I think, is around the 200 metre mark, even higher, and that relatively speaking, this proposal of 100 metres will show that there is respect for the low-rise history at the Queen Victoria market, and the fact that council is comfortable with this. Think about the sale of the Munro site. If it had gone to one of the four bidders that offered more than we did, can you imagine what they would be saying as they now try and max out the site and get thousands of apartments on that site and probably a supermarket in the basement? This entire renewal process would be very different if there was a different for-profit, probably offshore private developer that had bought that site and was then involved in this planning scheme amendment process, dictating the rules around that. We put $80 million on the table. We've bought the site. We're a very responsible developer, looking to be extremely sympathetic, expanding the footprint effectively of the Queen Victoria market and agreeing with what the independent experts are saying. and being comfortable with 100 metre discretionary when, post the Matthew Guy period, there is a forest of much larger towers within a very short period of short distance away, both built and coming in the pipeline, already approved. I'd like to thank the officers who've worked on the implementation plan, who've worked on the planning scheme amendment. There's been a power of work that has gone into this, and I've been very impressed with the quality of their work, and I think we need to show respect for the officers, for the amount of work, for the prodigious amount of work that has been done, and I think we need to support it. It's good work. It's a great endeavour. It's a great project. This is one of many pieces of the puzzle, and I think we're acting with integrity in adopting this proposal. I think Councillor Leppett's amendment is sensible. Once again, we're not going for the max out the development rules approach. We are going for the respect the heritage public use zone. And I think that is the governance high road to take, and I'm glad that Councillor Leppett has looked at the specifics, expressed a concern, and come up with a specific fix rather than just making any generic expressions of concern without any detail to back it up. So thanks for that, Councillor Leppett, and I do think we should send this off to the Minister, and I'm delighted to hear what the Lord Mayor has said about the Minister's latest sentiments on this particular project.
Is there a further speaker to debate? Councillor Watts.
Thank you. I too am heartened to hear the report of the Minister's comments. It seems that the Minister, what with the comments that he made to you, Lord Mayor, and what he's been saying in the media, quite clearly understands what we're facing here. I'm curious that my colleague should regard the work that we've done here on Council in such glowing terms. I personally had some problems with it, and I'm delighted that my colleague, Councillor Leppett, has been able to sort out the perhaps confusion around the public park and recreation zone compared to the capital city zone. These planning matters are extremely complex. It is no criticism whatsoever when sometimes our constituents become confused. My earlier comments remain that I would prefer these things to be in the hands of the new council. We are making major decisions. We are pushing this forward at the last minute of this council term. Nevertheless, I'm comfortable that it is with the minister. I am comfortable that he understands what we're trying to do here. I'm comfortable that he understands the threat to allow overdevelopment. I'm still concerned about the level of detail, but I'm happy for this, or I'm satisfied for this to continue.
Councillor Rong.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I think definitely would admit the commendation should go to the officers who have been working on this, because it is a complex. It is a complex planning scheme amendment. As we were proceeding leading up to tonight, there were issues raised about conflict of interest, which has now been addressed by changing the responsible authority. But it also must be noted that C245 planning scheme amendment is one piece of the puzzle, together with the implementation plan and also the contractual requirements that the panel has also acknowledged, that we have a commitment to progress this project. And we have milestones in the agreement with the state government to achieve certain deliverables by certain dates. And the implementation framework is part of that. I think what's very important to know about the planning scheme amendment, and when we go to the details about specific DPOs and heritage overlays and controls and all that, it actually gives a clearer view for traders, other stakeholders, existing residents around the area, future residents, what is possible and what could come. And one of the important things as a market, as we were talking earlier during the implementation framework discussion, is about foot traffic. You know, it's important that the market thrives when people go to the market, buy things, spend time there, and spend money. This framework and this planning scheme amendment envisage further growth in the coming years. And that we know that when there is more population, it brings more business. We've seen in the city in the last nearly 8 years where this average population growth is about 6,000 per year in the city. And at the same time, the number of businesses, small businesses appearing in the city has increased significantly. You can see it from the business activity. We can see it from the reports. So we hope that with these actions and the future growth, that the Victoria market will also experience significant growth of customers. And that's what it's all about. Preserving the heritage, preserving the ability of the market to provide the fresh produce and introduce new things and to attract people. And the open space will attract a hell of a lot more people. I mean, you look at the Federation Square on every weekend. There are thousands of people there because of the activities, community activities, festivals. This is the vision that I think we should all be proud of. And in 10 years' time, when it's all completed, this would be great. And this planning scheme amendment is another major piece of that jigsaw puzzle. I'm actually very happy that we are down this path, and I support it.
Further speaker debate? Okay, so I'd briefly, before I hand back the mover. Councillor Leppert's amendment is the crucial one. Normally, particularly when the development involves us, I'd be very loath to change the panel recommendation. Because you're seen to be meddling in something either for your own good or against it. In this case, we constrain ourselves more. But his amendment is critical, and here's why. What the panel have decided, and remember, for those who say there should be detail and there should be consultation, this is 156 submissions. It's 9 or 10 days of public hearings, as Councillor Main points out. It's exhaustive. But what they actually accepted as an argument is the one that we put, that the old way of looking at the market's environs, that it was kind of a saucer in which the market sat, is no longer appropriate. That in fact the city edge should come up and define the market, and that's why they have agreed to 100 metre discretionary height limits for sites like Munro and Franklin Street, and indeed provided the roadmap about how we could argue for greater height given community benefit. So they've accepted that idea that the market should be framed by the city. The thing that's anomalous with that, however, is leaving the capital city zone there. That if you're going to do that, then what you have to do is tie this council and all future councillors to the idea that this is a market forever. And therefore it should be, as Councillor Leppert has provided, public use zone to protect a market forever. I would point out, though, and I'm not quite sure why, this is the second time that the panel has decided not to move to public use zone but keep it capital city zone. I'm not sure what the reasoning is behind it. It certainly wasn't the reasoning in the panel report, as Councillor Leppert points out. Nevertheless, I think that is the balancing amendment to the panel's findings. I think it comes time to now work very closely. Obviously, we are with Heritage Victoria, but the state government architect, you know, the sort of people who are going to help us flesh out what this means in terms of any proposal that is to come forward. I would emphasise again, though, that this is one element. This is one element alone, without any planning permits or heritage permits being on the table, in a very long, long process. Those very productive discussions with the Minister this afternoon, and I'm delighted that the Minister is made the responsible authority for the reasons Councillor Leppert set out, but his comments again on the need for the redevelopment of the market, and this is one of the statutory blueprints which will help us to do that, but I believe it would be weaker without Councillor Leppert's amendment strengthening the protections around the use of the land set aside for the market. Further contributor debate? Mover wish to close debate?
Just briefly, Lord Mayor, and thank you for your kind words. You've mentioned the change to the shape of the city, to the north of the city, and I agree that although the planning scheme to date has called for that saucer shape and the flatness of the Queen Victoria Market rising up gradually to the heights of the skyline in the Hoddle grid, that the panel agreed with what our City of Melbourne officers contended, and that is that those controls, whilst meaning well, simply were not followed. The discretionary controls were overlooked time and time again, not just by developers, but by, particularly by planning ministers of different stripes over the years, and that has meant that although the planning scheme calls for that saucer shape, the horse has bolted. So what do we do in that context? I think that where we're landing tonight is the right thing to do. The panel has backed up the arguments that have been put. There still needs to be a gradual increase of height from the market to the larger towers inside the Hoddle grid, and that is why discretionary height limits have been recommended by the panel. However, the saucer shape has long since gone, and so what we need to do is make sure that the new controls are actually going to guide what the best public outcome shape of the city should be in and around the Queen Victoria Market, and I believe that these controls are much better, particularly if we lock down the land use zone in the Queen Victoria Market and make it very, very clear that the edge of the city is where the edge of the city is. One of the requirements of the development of any City of Melbourne-owned land is the creation of a development plan, which includes very, very, very detailed heritage analysis. It basically needs to state that any change to the Queen Victoria Market heritage place, there's no adverse change based on any development that's put in there. What we're agreeing tonight is quite restrictive. I agree with Councillor Mayne, just again in reply, that there is no conflict of interest. The only issue I was raising at the beginning of the debate is the perception of a conflict of interest, which I think is something that we need to navigate as a political exercise, but I completely agree that under the Act there is no perception per se, and there is no conflict of interest per se, and in fact, as you say, Councillor Mayne, the perception is further removed by us making the Planning Minister the responsible authority. But on that perception of conflict issue, this precinct is not just the Queen Victoria Market plus a few plots of council-owned land to the south. There are hundreds of landowners in the area to the north of, I think it's Beckett Street that the precinct is in, if not it's the street parallel, and we have to be scrupulously fair to all of those landowners as well. While we go forward and seek to develop land in the way that we wish it to be developed, we have to be scrupulously fair to all of those other landowners and make sure that they are not being either unfairly advantaged or disadvantaged by our actions. So I believe that we've struck the right balance, and I thank councillors for their kind words as well, and I commend the motion.
Okay, so I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Councillor Foster, sorry, that's unanimous. Thank you. There is one item of general business on council and future Melbourne committee meetings during the election period. Could I call on a councillor to move a motion? Councillor Leppard, I think it's you. This is the... Councillor Leppard, seconded. Councillor Mayne.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. This motion proposes to assist the operation of the council through the caretaker period. I guess the backstory of this is that many councils across Victoria meet on a monthly basis. We actually, as a full council, in committee and council meet more often than any other council in Victoria. So we meet three Tuesdays a month. And so this raised the question of whether we would be meeting almost every Tuesday through the caretaker period, which would be very different from every other council in Victoria. So we've looked at this question and come up, after consultation with the officers, come up with the proposal that we will cancel the future Melbourne committee meetings scheduled for October 4 and October 11, which is during the caretaker period. Obviously, we'll have the September council meeting, and then we'll have the October council meeting, which will only list items of general business considering annual reports, and that means our annual report and potentially QVM's annual report and Citywide's annual report and any other statutory matters. And in terms of planning issues, 1.3, which has been added tonight after consultation with the with officers, is that the officers are delegated to make any time-sensitive decisions and we've referred the actual delegations policy in there, as well as the memorandum of understanding with the state government, where there are some time pressures on us. So if there are any particularly publicly sensitive planning matters that came to council over that period, it could be dealt with at the September council meeting, but we're not envisaging there will be. It's not a particularly long period of time, and we do think that during the caretaker period overall, we should authorise the delegation decision in 1.3 and effectively just operate like virtually every other council in Victoria in not meeting almost every Tuesday when you're meant to be in caretaker and actually sort of not making decisions. So I think it's a sensible governance adjustment by the council, which meets in public more often than any other in Victoria.
Councillor Leppett. Further contribution to debate? Councillor Watts.
Whilst I agree with 1.2 and 1.3, I do not think that council or future Melbourne committee should not meet during for those two periods. We are available to our constituents. We are constrained through the caretaker period, but we should be there and we should be available, and this does not meet with my approval.
Further contribution to debate? Mover wish to close debate?
I guess I'd only say that if you don't support 1.1, then you wouldn't support 1.3, because you would be wanting to make those decisions. But look, I think that it's a sensible adjustment. You have to look at how every other council operates. If something urgent did come up, you could call a meeting if you really had to. But frankly, when other candidates in the election don't get an ability to pontificate in council meetings or put up motions or things like that, I think it's a little unfair in terms of a level playing field for all candidates, for creating that platform for incumbent councillors to potentially benefit from promoting their agenda at future Melbourne committee meetings. So I think it's a sensible move, and we should support this motion.
I'll put that motion. All those in favour? Councillor Foster, Councillor Mayne, Councillor Wood, Councillor Louis, Councillor Pinder-Mortimer, Councillor Wrong, Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Oak, Councillor Leppett, myself, those against. Councillor Watts, the motion is carried. Thank you. Are there any items of proposed urgent business?
I'd like to propose one item of urgent business, Lord Mayor.
In that case, we need a seconder that this matter. Councillor Wood, Councillor Mayne, do you want to debate whether it's urgent or not? Are we happy to put that?
I'm happy to put it straight to the vote.
Okay. And those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Councillor Mayne, would you care to move the urgent motion?
I move the motion that now appears on the screen.
Is that seconded? Councillor Wood. Thank you. Councillor Mayne.
Lord Mayor, I must admit, quite taken aback when I read the front page of The Age today, and it had in great detail the contents of a confidential report which is coming to the confidential session of this meeting in the coming minutes. For a sensible council to be able to operate with trust and with respect, including with tenderers or counterparties who are dealing with the council, we need to have a system that respects confidentiality. And frankly, to see such a document leaked so brazenly, in my mind, in a way that, in my view, was designed to damage or undermine the decision-making process. As Chair of Governance, I think it's incumbent on the Council to, without enormous fanfare or finger-pointing, but to simply request the CEO, write to the local government inspectorate to investigate this leak and to attempt to try and track down what's happened. Now, as a journalist myself, I know I'm not comfortable with, you know, witch hunts on leaks. And I know that most leaks, pursuits of leaks, are a fruitless task. But as Chair of Governance, we have to send a message to the leaker and to everyone else that we take these matters seriously, that our officers can trust us. And the Local Government Act does say that a leak of information which the CEO has designated as confidential is an issue that qualifies for serious misconduct under the Act, which can lead to fines as much as $18,660 if someone is found to have deliberately leaked confidential information. So I'm not going to specifically point the finger at anyone, but I was shocked to see that and very disappointed, and I think that it's appropriate that we formally, in open session, simply write to the Inspectorate, which is the appropriate authority in this body, and ask them to investigate. And I hope that whoever did it has serious regrets and that we won't see this again, because it will lead to a breakdown of trust and it will lead to officers not being willing to share information with councillors if you can't put up reports that are confidential and then read about them on the front page of the paper 2 or 3 days later. I mean, I can't think of anything quite so brazen as this in terms of a leak in local government in Victoria for a few years. It's astonishing, and I think it affects the reputation of all of us. So I think we need to be serious and not do something internal, particularly with elections coming up and people competing. I think that that would put unfair pressure on the officers if we were going to ask the officers to initiate something. So the appropriate course here is to write to the Inspectorate after a council decision in open session, as is proposed in this motion.
Councillor Wood.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. I thank Councillor Main for bringing this. And it's not a decision that you know, we take lightly if this is widely supported. I mean, to turn yourself over to the Inspectorate investigation is not something I think that you know, anyone would sign up to on a whim. But like Councillor Main, I guess I wasn't just shocked, I was actually quite angry. I was angry to sort of pick up that paper and see not just a couple of quotes or a couple of lines from a strategy or you know, a few items here and there, but indeed the journalist having cited the entire report, the entire confidential report. That's to another level in terms of breaching confidentiality. And when you talk about, Councillor Main's mentioned some of the potential impacts, but you know, if you wanted to sort of draw this right through to its full spectrum, it could have contractual issues. It's certainly got reputational issues about, you know, City of Melbourne's ability to contain information which is confidential, and could, in the long run, have economic impacts as well. And I think that anger for me was very much about this occurring in an election year and the sort of impacts that it could have on a project which is so vital to this city. We know there's a lot of passion in the debate around Queen Victoria Market, but I don't think we can argue with the fact that anyone, no matter sort of what view you've got of the market, wants to see that market retained. And I think to have that confidential report leaked like this, you know, it's not, I guess, over-egging it to say that it could jeopardise a project of such significance. So I agree with Councillor Main. Very difficult to find the person who has actually done this. But I hope that this person is sitting here really seriously reconsidering their actions once they see a motion like this supported to get the Inspectorate involved, and probably more to the point, not just the Inspectorate, but to understand the anger and shock of colleagues that this has occurred.
Further speaker on the motion? Is there a speaker against the motion, Councillor Leavitt? No. Is there a further speaker for the motion, Councillor Leavitt?
Thank you, Lord Mayor. It's quite regrettable that we're even having this discussion, but I think it is necessary for the reasons that have been set out. Even if this is a matter that could be contained and written off as a one-off incident, possibly done by someone who didn't know better, I'd be happy to leave it. However, this is of such seriousness, and it's already being commented on extensively externally, including by candidates for council who were not successful in being elected to council, who are claiming that this isn't a leak, it's a whistleblowing attempt, and suggesting that certain councillors might be responsible for it. This is now becoming a very politicised issue, which is utterly regrettable. As the seconder has said, whoever is responsible for this should think very seriously about why they wish to either be elected to or employed by the City of Melbourne. what on earth they think they're contributing by undertaking an act like this. I am absolutely furious, just as the mover and the seconder are. I agree with the mover, and I think I'll leave it there.
Thank you. Further contribution to debate? Councillor Foster.
I'd also like to support the comments that have already been made, many of which I agree with. I think this, as much as anything, is certainly a perceptual issue for the council, and I think, as Councillor Main suggested, whether or not the investigation proves to be a fruitless exercise, I hope it does go some way to addressing those perceptions that in some ways, I suppose, are inevitable from something like this, that there is an issue of control within the town hall when it comes to documents of this type. I hope that it does go some way to reinstalling some confidence around that.
Thank you. Further contribution? I'll make a very brief one. I support this motion absolutely and completely. I want to say I have complete confidence in the inspectorate, in their thoroughness, in their rigour. So I'm a little more optimistic than other speakers here about them getting to the bottom of this. I've been in politics a long time where leaks are a part of the landscape. This is not some whispered phone call in a tip-off to a journalist. This is one of the most sensitive documents that we will handle. For someone to copy it in some form and then either pass it on personally or through a third party to a journalistic source is about as bad a leak as I've seen in my time here at the City of Melbourne. And unprofessionally damaging though it is, I think the fact that we're going to take this so seriously and we are going to pursue this as hard as we can is particularly important. The one area where I would disagree with my colleagues, Councillor Main and Councillor Wood, is that I don't care whether the leaker has serious regrets or not. What I care about is that there are serious repercussions for that leaker, and I certainly hope that that is the case. Further contribution to debate? Mover wish to close debate? I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is unanimous. Thank you. Could I call for a councillor to move the motion displayed on the screen to close the meeting to the public to consider items of confidential business? Councillor Wood, seconded, Deputy Lord Mayor. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you.